if someone were afraid of the dentist, maybe they haven't been in a long time, maybe they're embarrassed because they haven't been in a while, I feel like this would be a really safe place for them to go and get the care that they need.
At Advanced Dentistry, we get it. If you've been avoiding the dentist because of fear, worry, or just not wanting to be judged, if you want to learn how IV sedation can change your life, visit nofeardentist.com.
Let the word go forth.
Fool me once.
Are you fired up?
I'm not a crook.
Are you ready to go?
Shame on you.
It's Abe Lincoln's Top Hat, hosted by Ben Kissel.
Boom, we can't get fooled again.
Hey, what's up, everyone? How you doing? Ben Kissel here, hanging out with Fernando.
Hi, Ben.
And Travis Irvine.
Hi, Ben.
Thank you all so much for listening. Hope you're doing well out there. We have another fantastic episode for you. Before we get to the meaty news of the week, did you know they're turning the lights gay?
Folks, I've seen the Lightumints.
It's the 50th anniversary of The Dark Side of the Moon. Of course, Pink Floyd, very famous cover. I believe it's a prism, but Fernando, some people are upset.
Yeah, they're showing the rainbows. They're making Pink Floyd gay, Ben.
Whoa, Pink Floyd is woke.
Pink Floyd is too woke, folks. Look at this. They're shining a light through a prism, and it turns into a gay rainbow. What do you think about that?
Hey, teachers, leave those kids alone if you even think about talking about African-American history in Florida.
Oh, you're just another brick in the wall, folks.
Wow, nailing it. All right, well, we have a bunch of stories to get to. We're going to discuss ExxonMobil and utility companies raking in the profits as people are suffering. Pain at the pump, it's a real thing. Not so much for Exxon. They made $6 billion an hour last year with record profits, and we will discuss that a little bit later on. We also have some interesting prison bills that we want to discuss out of Massachusetts, and of course, much, much more. But let's get to some dumb news right up in the front. Kanye West, his 2024 campaign, he is running for president, okay, has received zero donations.
What?
Hold on. Isn't that sad?
Wait a minute.
Yes, according to the Daily Beast, the only amount of money that's within his campaign is $142,000, and that's all of the money that he put in. Oh. And so no one's donating to Kanye's campaign. He lost, what was it, Adidas?
Yes.
He lost a series of different marketing deals, and now no one is even going to give him money so he can run for president as a farce in order to increase his own celebrity? What kind of country is this?
It's almost like attacking big money interests or making them mad will cost you a bunch of money for your new fantastic campaign.
He filed on this past Monday, and so he is going through all of the filing. He's doing everything properly. It requires filing paperwork with the FEC. He did post what appeared to be a campaign video in November, and his logo is Yay 24, which sounds like a gay nightclub. Yay 24.
Oh, fun.
The same day West posted his video, which he discussed running for president, he had recently dined with former President Donald Trump, and that's the famous meal with Nick Fuentes, the white supremacist who's also Hispanic, so you figured that out.
Right.
And that is where Kanye West asked Donald Trump to be his running mate.
Right.
And then Donnie said, God damn it, Kanye. Just Kanye? Because I put ketchup on my steak doesn't mean I'm a child.
My God. This has Milo Yiannopoulos' fingerprints all over it. Failed campaign, super gay motto, Yay 24. But of course, Milo also quit. So now what do you do?
They're only going to play Pink Floyd during the campaign speeches.
Brick in the wall.
Yes, indeed. West Political Committee also paid Milo Yiannopoulos a bunch of cash. Apparently, he got two payments, one for $9,955 and another for $40,000. I don't know what the advice was that Milo gave to Ye, but it was enough for nearly $50,000 in profits. So it doesn't look very good right now for Kanye West and his 2024 campaign.
Kanye West.
This is a great.
There's something about going DEFCON 3 on Jewish people that might not help your fundraising.
Interesting.
Okay. I'm glad. I'm glad he's making no money, but I'm genuinely surprised. I would think that there's a nutbag out there who's going to throw him a few thousand.
It is because, especially since Trump was so good at fundraising, Trump got those folks to open up their wallets. But it seems like the Kanye crowd is more just about owning the libs or whatever. I mean, we had the folks here in California who even yes. unfurled a sign off of the 405 that said Kanye was right or whatever.
Right.
And it's like, that's probably as far as you're going to go. Like that guy who's unfurling signs in the 405 probably doesn't have, you know, $142,000 laying around to match.
Right. And I also don't think there's really a lot of empathy for Kanye's financial struggles because he's super right. rich. But of course, Donald Trump was also super rich. I don't know. Maybe there's something wrong with their, maybe there's something different with their pigmentation.
Oh.
And perhaps that has something to do with it as well. Of course, Kanye West not being taken seriously whatsoever as a presidential candidate, even though his rhetoric isn't that far off
from presidential candidates.
From mainstream, in this case, Republican rhetoric. Donald Trump, he is also attacking Ron DeSantis. We're going to discuss a Florida bill here in a second that is absolutely asinine. I can't even believe we're discussing this, but it's real. Ron DeSantis has taken the mandate. No, I'm not talking about what Charlie Crist got busted doing, which is why he lost the governorship.
Ugh.
He is taking the 59% victory that he got and running with it in the dumbest possible social warrior ways. Truly. It's nuts.
Oh, boy.
So Donald Trump, seeing that Ron DeSantis is his number one primary foil, says that Ron DeSantis is no more than a rhino globalist.
Whoa!
It's kind of interesting that Donald Trump...
Hold on. He's taking my words.
Yeah, you want to call him a rhino globalist?
Oh, those are my words. I've seen the globulum.
The globulaments.
I've had too much chili.
You have had too much chili. Donald Trump, of course, on the Alex Jones diet, which is why he spews so much shit. It is interesting that Donald Trump is truly now taking aim once again, like he did Lil Marco. And will this stick with someone like Ron DeSantis? Obviously, it's difficult to call someone a globalist when you're butt buddies with Vladimir Putin and had relationships with leaders all over the globe when you were president. I can't think of anything particularly anti-globalist about Donald Trump and his agenda other than the rhetoric of America first.
Sure.
Which really never came to fruition because factories are still going offshore to other countries because at the end of the day, slave labor still rules and runs the world.
I mean, turn over a Trump hat, you're going to see made in China
made right on the back.
Oh, globalist.
Exactly. So I don't think that's really going to stick because, of course, Donald Trump, again, you could argue that he is more of a globalist than Ron DeSantis. And being a globalist is not even in the top 20 problems with Ron DeSantis. And again, Travis, I do think that your prediction is coming true that he's too batshit for mainstream America, yeah. I believe.
Yeah.
Anyway, going on to other people who might be running for the Republican nomination in 2024, we got Nikki Haley.
Oh, she's always been popping her head around.
Yes, indeed. She plans to announce her presidential run, so it's all happening in 2023. I'm assuming this will occur around July, maybe a little bit before, but it seems to me July 4th, the summertime, people are paying a little bit of attention, but also none.
Right.
It's like county fair time. So maybe you'll go out and see a sign for Nikki Haley and be like, oh, Nikki's running. Didn't know that. Let's go get some more deep fried butter. Nothing wrong with deep fried butter other than the fact it's going to kill us. And we're going to talk about food here in a little bit on the show as well. So she has said that she is announcing. So it looks like Ron DeSantis, Trump, and Haley, and then John Bolton as well.
What?
Still said he's running.
He still said it.
I know a thing or two about coup d'etats.
Ooh, fun. But what about Pompeo and Pence? And
Pence and Pompeo, they're still tentatively looking into it. I have a feeling that Pompeo is going to learn very quickly that nobody wants his fat fucking ass, which is slightly skinnier now, I suppose.
It is skinnier now, yes.
We're in this era where Donald Trump ran and then he was like, I'm a corporate shill. I'm a billionaire who gives money, large amounts of money to both sides. Vote for me. I'm whipping the curtain back. And now we have people in the CIA and in the intelligence communities be like, why don't you just vote for someone in the intelligence community?
Yeah. Why don't you just vote for the curtain?
Exactly. I don't really see the logic. I don't really see why that would be a good thing for the country, but hey.
But if we're being honest, he's probably the most qualified. I get
that. John Bolton?
Out of that crew.
I knew a thing or two about coup d'etats.
I agree. It's not the greatest thing for the country, but he probably is truly the most qualified.
Yay, I don't know.
DeSantis? Trump? I mean,
he's more qualified than
well,
yay.
Well, and but then Nikki Haley, it does have actual qualifications.
Yeah, okay,
she was governor
of
a state. When she did take a position in the Trump administration, it was with the UN ambassador, which makes her, you know, more of a global like figure in a lot of people's eyes. So
yes, and of course Nikki Haley, she made some national news when she took down the Confederate flag in South Carolina after that horrific shooting at the church in Charleston?
Charleston. Oh, South
that
Carolina,
was absolutely,
2015, yeah.
That was so freaking awful and nasty. So she got hit by the right when she took down the flag, and ever since then,
right,
she's been sort of tiptoeing this bizarre dance. Ooh, Haley and Trump dancing. Isn't that a wonderful night in Florida?
No.
She's been distancing herself, but also coming back every now and again when she thinks it's politically advantageous. So we'll see what happens now that all of these people are going to be officially going toe-to-toe, head-to-head, muff-to-dick for the Republican primary, because they are going to get nasty.
Oh, it's going to get nasty. If you like muff-on-dick, you're going to love this Republican primary. And I will just say, with Nikki Haley, it's very smart to get in now also, because then she will always kind of be in the conversation, but she's always much different from a lot of the other guys who are running. Your DeSantimoniuses, your Trumps, your Pompeos, your Boltons, your
Pences. How is she that different, do you think?
She is a woman, Ben.
Exactly.
And so she's setting herself up for, if nothing else, a VP slot, because she is from a southern state that goes first in the nation when it comes to the primary system. So even if she could like win the South Carolina primary, she's showing her true grasp on the party itself. And so whoever does get the nomination,
we'll see.
If it's a white man, boy, Nikki Haley sure looks good as a VP candidate.
She does have that Trump taint all over her, and
also,
obviously being an ambassador.
Could you imagine
I can't say
Nikki
it's the
Haley?
Most difficult job.
Nikki Haley versus Kamala Harris in a debate? Oh, buddy.
I guess that'd be.
Oh, buddy.
That'd be fun, I suppose. I don't care.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's what I want to say, though. I think they do. I think, can a woman win a Republican ticket? Yes. Can a woman win the presidential Republican?
I don't think so.
But exactly what Travis said.
Yeah.
Someone who gets it really high up is a real big political winner. She's a woman. She's Republican. That's VP money right there.
I mean, I think that it's very possible that the first female president is Republican. You look at the suburbs that Donald Trump was able to carry with Republican women.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cornerstone of the Republican Party. Donald Trump, I think, got a little too crazy. Ron DeSantis, again, with all this culture war shit, which we're going to talk about here in a second. Nuts. I think, without a doubt, a Republican woman could end up becoming president of the United States, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Almost more so than, I mean, what right now in the... As far as the depth chart goes, I feel like there's more well-known Republican women that are viable within the Republican Party than the Democrats. Obviously, Joe plans on running, barring God knows anything can happen. The man could have a hernia and then die like tomorrow.
Oh, no.
So who the hell knows? But I think the Republicans have a very good chance of having the first female president. That was sort of the idea when it came to race. Remember Colin Powell?
Yeah.
Everyone was like, he's going to be our first black president. It's going to be a Republican. It's going to be Colin Powell. And then he was like, I think this is crazy. I got to go retire.
Right.
So I don't know. I'm not necessarily certain that a woman couldn't win. I could see them winning the suburbs and the places that they have to.
Right. Well, keep in mind, Republican politics can be boiled down to very like simplistic type of logic. And so I think they know they're going to be running against an old white man and then a diverse woman. Right.
Sure.
Your Biden-Harris ticket. So that's why I think all your Republican strategists are just thinking, how do we get a not too batshit, not too old white guy? And then who do we pair him with bring in that suburb? Buck?
Sure. DeSantis, Haley, or hey, I mean, I don't think DeSantis would take a VP position at this point. He's the governor.
Right.
Why bother?
No, he wants top.
But isn't DeSantis is Hispanic, right?
It's a Cuban. Isn't it Cuban or something? So, yes.
So, I mean, I don't know. I feel like the term means like, I don't know, whatever. I'm just saying Kamala Harris doesn't really... I'm not sure if she's striking the heartstrings the same way as other people are, such as a Stacey Abrams.
Sure.
You know, when you think about like strong black leaders, female leaders, she just doesn't seem to be resonating. But who knows what happens as time goes on. When it comes to Ron DeSantis, holy shit. So with ladies, you know, they like to play sports. And why wouldn't they? It's very fun to play sports. In late January 2023, the Florida High School Athletics Association, they had a little meeting, right? And basically what's happening here is female student athletes in Florida need to provide their schools with detailed information about their periods. This is all this. I think what? This is about trans women playing in sports.
Yes.
And so because of that, they've decided to completely get rid of any sort of right to privacy. And they want female athletes to give the school all of the information on their menstrual cycles.
Wow.
Which obviously can also lead to some speculation if they're pregnant or not.
Yes, exactly.
And then it seems like Florida might be going down some pretty strict anti-abortion laws here in the very, very near future. This is absolutely disgusting. And it's real.
Yeah.
So this is what's happening. Despite public outcry, the Florida High School Athletics Association is standing by its decision that girls submit menstruation info to schools.
That's insane.
Including age of their first period.
Oh, God.
Wow.
How many days are typically in between their periods and the date of their most recent period?
That's brutal.
What
dude.
The fuck is happening? So a panel of the FHSAA has submitted this recommendation to the board of directors, and then they're going to render their decision February 26th or 27th in 2023. The committee voted to adopt a national registration form that makes answering questions on menstruation mandatory for student athletes, but diverges from the guidance of that particular form by requiring all answers be submitted not just to doctors, but to school officials.
What?
I can't. Why the hell does a school need to know this?
Yeah.
Talk about a way to get women not wanting to play sports.
Right.
Can you imagine if they did this with the, how much did you shit today, Mary? You want to play football? We need to weigh that dump. It's nasty.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I do remember with wrestling, they do have those weigh-ins where it is like, you better go take a shit right now, and then you come back and you're 3 pounds lighter.
I was
but
a
that
wrestler.
Is apples and oranges to what is happening with this legislation.
It is different. Obviously, wrestlers, they survive off of spitting and chewing tobacco.
Yeah.
Because you can lose a couple of ounces. I was always told to stay at 275 because it was intimidating.
Ooh.
So I was like the only wrestler who's like, coach wants me to eat. And then after wrestling season, I kept on eating and then gained 150 fucking pounds because I'm not burning 10,000 calories a day.
Right. But this legislation is obviously an overreach. And again, as we've covered on this show, the transgender athlete, I mean, it's a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a community. I remember just going back to my home state of Ohio. There's literally one trans high school athlete. And she just wants to play softball with her friends. And that's it. And then so this is, again, it's one of those solutions looking for a problem. And we all know Ron DeSantis is deep in the culture war. That's why he's doing this. But to your point, Ben, and like we were just talking about with 2024 on the horizon, does this actually hurt you with women voters and mothers and parents
who
are like,
you,
this is overreach. Like, even if you're a parent who doesn't want transgender athletes, you're believing all the hype or whatever to transgender athletes to play sports.
Sure.
This now it's almost like they're putting, like you said, every single female high school athlete on a completely different.
Isn't this just going to lead to the menstrual trade, right? If I'm a trans woman, much like how I had to go take a bunch of piss tests, but I was full of weed and drugs, so it wasn't necessarily my piss, if you know what I'm talking about. Be like, hey, you need more of that menstrual blood? I got to take my test. Hey, Tammy, I see that you're bloated and bitchy.
Are you
menstruating by any chance? Because I need some of that sweet blood. I got to play softball this weekend.
I didn't even think about that.
That's my question. What is the proof that they're having this menstruation? Are they going to collect the pads and tampons?
Oh,
if you're lying
God.
About when your cycle is happening, right. Travis. And, okay.
You just see the principal going through all the trash.
Oh, my God.
This isn't very fresh, is it,
God,
Samantha?
So gross.
And, trans women aren't the only women that technically don't have periods. A lot of women, born women, cis women, don't have periods for medical reasons, for lots of reasons.
Birth control!
Lots of things happen.
Exactly.
So it's just, the overreach is insane. And
insane.
What Travis said, they're trying to solve a problem that doesn't exist
by
literally taking away Americans' freedoms.
And this is revenge. This is total culture war revenge. Why are women playing sports when they should be baking? They should be cooking. It is.
No one
so
take
much,
those comments out of context, please.
This is not about sports.
Right.
This
right.
is about pure and utter women attempting to break some kind of social moray, social norm mm-hmm. that says you shouldn't be playing sports. Go have fun. Play with your Barbies and dress up and go to those pageants where you wear dresses and answer questions all dumb.
And I wonder if the once the 2024 Republican primary comes around, if someone like a Nikki Haley would call out Ron DeSantis and this kind of legislation for that. You know, this would make it difficult for a Nikki Haley candidate to sign on to anyone as a VP.
We'll talk about also when it comes to the narrative of they're all pedophiles. As someone who has met pedophiles, because I did foster care for many years and children are in foster care because things went horribly wrong. This is pedophilic
Absolutely.
To me.
Very much.
Because, or whatever the term is, if teenager, whatever. But it is disgusting.
Right.
Why would any government body full of adults request any of this information?
Right.
It is so gross. These are teenage mm-hmm. girls that don't... If you would ask a teenage girl at a Wendy's, can I, are you on your period? Can I see the evidence? You'd get arrested.
Right.
But somehow, because she wants to play volleyball, you're allowed to. So this is, go on.
Let me add, we're in a country right now. The U.S. has consistently faced mistreatment of women and now even forced castration. Remember, we talked about this in the past year. What the lines that connect where you're tracking a girl's period, a teenage girl's period, to giving her forced castration and doing things like that, it's blurred already when you start doing these things.
Right. Well, and then of course, also you have much legislation out there. I mean, we can get off the trans subject, but just lastly on that, for gender reassignment surgery, things like that, Donald Trump just recently came out and said he wants to prosecute any doctor who does that with anybody under the age of 18. And again, that is between a person, their doctor, their family. I don't know enough. I'm just going to stay the fuck out of it because I don't know what people are going through. I'm just me. So I know for a fact that a blanket ban on anything is not a good idea. So you also have that angle of it. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, again, when it comes to the abortion angle, why haven't you had your period in 9 months? Well, what's happening?
Oh, what's going on? Yeah.
Or 6 months and then all of a sudden you're having your period. What happened?
Oh, no. You
know, now all of a sudden you're charged with murder.
Ugh. Really?
Anyway, go on.
Well,
perhaps. I mean, in certain states, it certainly would be, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Right. Yeah, yes. And that's what Ron DeSantis would want. That's
and
his
in
idea.
Florida, it's only going that direction.
Right. Well, in Ohio, of course, had that ridiculous piece of legislation that was the genital inspection. To your point, Ben, about things being feeling a little pedophilic to it. I mean, that was the legislation where it was like they wanted you to go get a genital inspection if you were able to even play that week.
I got good news and I got bad news. Good news is I got a job. Remember you were telling me to get a job, honey?
Yeah, baby, I'm telling you to get that job.
I'm in charge of flicking the bean down there at the local high school. Honey, I don't want to do this, honey. But I gotta flick their beans.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's
make
a new
sure
law,
that
right?
Yeah, it's a law, and I make sure that they have their beans.
It's a legal job.
Yes, it's a disgusting job, but someone's got to do it. It's more difficult because you know I lost my arms in Iraq.
Oh right.
I mean, if anyone that is not a doctor asked to see my vagina or my penis, I'm calling the cops. You know, if you're not
dependent,
if I'm underage, I'm 13 and you're not my doctor and you're asking me, show me your genitalia.
Right.
I'm calling the cops.
Unless it's another 13-year-old and you guys are playing some funny game in a closet and you're doing your experimental adulting thing.
No adults around.
Good Lord. So the current version of this form, it's for females only.
Of course.
And it asked the following. These are the questions that it asked. This is an official form that adults came up with.
Oh, boy.
It is. When was your first menstrual period? When was your most recent menstrual period? How much time do you usually have from the start of one period to the start of another? How many periods have you had in the last year? What was the longest time between periods in the last year? Ugh. Not the period. I mean, it's good because for me, it's like, no baby. But the ilk is the government with a form like that,
mm-hmm.
having you fill out the most personal information that happens between your fucking legs.
Ugh.
And you're getting punished for wanting to be healthy, stay in shape, mm-hmm. join a club, be an athlete. All of these fantastic things we encourage people to do. I mean, obviously, from a male perspective, you could argue the inverse is quite stressful to be a man if you don't want to play sports. Right. You know, it's not necessarily the best thing. But these are just girls trying to do what girls have been doing forever. How are we going backwards since Title IX?
Right.
Like we're like regressing so far. It's just, I can't believe we're at panty checks. This is out of the movie Porky's.
Yeah. Oh God. In a way less fun way.
In a way less fun way. All right. Well, let's move on before we get to ExxonMobil. Let's discuss, speaking of America and American health, this is the greatest country on earth, according to many. And I tend to agree as well. But we have our problems, right? And one of the problems is we're being killed by the food that they feed us, which is a pretty big problem. That's what I believe. So U.S. spends more money than any other nation on healthcare, yet it still has the lowest life expectancy. So just because, well, I used to say this with Marcus, America is maybe not the best country, but it's my favorite because I'm from here. But this is one of the reminders that we're not number one at everything. And sometimes life expectancy shouldn't be played like the game of golf. Right. You should get the highest number possible.
Yes.
So Americans spend, again, more money on healthcare compared to any other country, and yet they face the lowest life expectancy. This is according to the Commonwealth Fund, a nonpartisan think tank that focuses on health issues. They released a new report this week. It compares the U.S. to a dozen other developed nations, including the U.K. and Australia. It revealed that U.S. residents pay more per person, as well as a greater share of the country's GDP for healthcare. And despite paying the top dollar, their life expectancy in America was 77 years. In the U.K., it is over 80 years. That's because people in the U.S. at a rate of 336 per 100,000 are dying more frequently from, quote, avoidable conditions. Case in point, nearly 43% of Americans are considered obese, whereas the average rate across 13 of the wealthiest countries is just 24%. Now, why are we considered obese? It's because our food, because of subsidies, because of just overall lack of concern for public health, it's full of sugar. It is so much nastier. When you go to, like, when we travel across to, like, Italy, you eat more and you don't gain weight. You feel like you're almost losing weight. There's less packaging. There's less the thing that makes sure the food don't go bad.
Preservatives.
So this is what they say. The findings of our international comparison demonstrate the importance of a healthcare system that supports chronic disease prevention and management, the early diagnosis and treatment of medical problems, affordable access to health coverage, and a cost containment among the key functions of a high-performing system. So basically what they're trying to say is you don't go to the hospital until you got to go to the emergency room. We don't go in for your normal checkups because you can't afford it. So you go in when you're at stage four cancer instead of stage one. And then boom, the doctor's like, well, here are some pharmaceutical drugs that'll keep you alive for a year. Pharmaceuticals make their money. It's all good. And then you die on to the next patient.
Jeez.
It's really freaking nasty. They go on to say, this is the researchers, they say, for the U.S., a first step to improvement is ensuring that everyone has access to affordable care. Not only is the U.S. the only country we studied that does not have a universal health coverage system, but its health system can seem designed to discourage people from using the services. So basically, they go in way too late when things are already, you know, when shit has hit the wall. And then the food that we're consuming, full of the preservatives, full of the sugar, high fructose corn syrup that comes out of Iowa. That's literally subsidized by the government.
Right.
We talked about the food pyramid when they added cheese. All of a sudden, everyone's like, you're going to want to butt fuck cheese.
You're going to want to snort pure grain. If five you times only a day. Eat,
there was a man who he's a very nice man. He's a vegetarian. About 700 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
And he used to just eat bricks of, I was like, so what are you eating? He's like, it's just bricks of cheese.
He's vegetarian.
Because he's vegetarian. And I was like, well, that's not good. I'm from Wisconsin. I love cheese. But if all you do is eat cheese and then also high processed, crappy craft cheese.
Yes, exactly.
It's not good. And I don't think it needs to be like the second most needed thing on the food pyramid. But anyway. And of course, we also had COVID, so the U.S. life expectancy took a big hit during the pandemic. The country has the highest coronavirus death rate compared to other high-income countries one of the lowest COVID-19 vaccination rates at 69%. The Netherlands is number one with just 68% of them getting vaccinated. So anyway, there's a lot of reasons behind it, but the number one reason is the food that we're eating is legitimately killing us. And now mainstream media is actually taking this into account. It's the burgers, it's the hot dogs, but it's not just burgers and hot dogs. It's ours specific.
Yes.
Because they're full of the nitrates.
Mm-hmm.
And again, they're full of a bunch of government subsidized
chemicals.
Chemicals. Right. Monsanto.
Oh.
I mean, get Neil Young going. But it's all true. Like Monsanto, the seeds, you know, to make a bigger pumpkin, they're like, yeah, just it's all
pump it up. Yeah.
Pump it up.
Pump
it's
it
all,
up. It's we gotta, all we gotta win this pumpkin contest, babe.
It's produce steroids. They're juiced.
Well, it's a numbers game. Think about it. The food costs more to make. So products cost more and labor cost more. But you're trying to make more profits on the back end.
Right.
Where do you make the cuts? You make the cuts in quality.
Of course.
Or you make the cuts in how you produce this product.
Mm.
And therefore, you get more over-processed foods. It's
right.
It's the way the system is designed.
And continuing cycle. Because
yes.
Then the only people who can afford those foods are people of lower income. And
yes.
Then so they buy more of those foods and so on and so forth.
Well, and also, let's be honest. We live in a society where we made a universal decision that quantity over quality was really cool.
Right.
Yeah.
We're just
right.
Like Golden Corral. It's horrible food. If you went to Golden Corral
in the 90s
and you just ordered. Sure.
Yes. 90s was amazing.
But let's say just ordered a steak from Golden Corral and it was just a restaurant. You'd be like, this is the worst steak I've ever had. But then you go and you're like, I can get 10 of these.
I can get 10 of the worst.
This is amazing.
Oh, they got a buffet that's all steak. Oh, here I go. All you can eat.
So the processed foods, the candies, the donuts, the ice cream, the store-bought cookies, french fries, sausages, hot dogs, frozen pizza, and ready-to-eat meals, which you just ate, Travis.
I just ate one for lunch. They were three for $11. What am I supposed to do?
Right. It's killing us. According to Dr. Kara Chang, a National Institute for Health and Care Research Fellow, they say ultra-processed foods are produced with industrial-derived ingredients and often use food additives to adjust color, flavor, consistency, texture, or extend shelf life. And obviously, shelf life means money. It is a fascinating situation where, again, it's my favorite, but we got to do a lot better in this country.
Yeah.
The fact that these Brits are living longer than us.
Oh,
but they got the joke was they're all brittle. They got bad teeth. They all die of heart disease. And now they're outliving us.
Yes.
Yeah. Our ancestors didn't dump all that tea in a harbor.
For this.
God dang it. Also, we should have kept the tea,
Tea's a lot healthier than coffee, technically.
Yeah, put a little honey in there for a nice natural sweetener.
Mm-mm-mm. Bad for teeth, good for health.
Yeah, damn it, those Brits. All right, well, let's move on. Speaking of things that create hot gas, let's discuss what's going on right now. SoCal, it's skyrocketing gas bills in Southern California. This is also happening nationally, but we'll just focus on Southern California. Fernanda brought this to our attention. Evidently, gas bills are up how much?
132%, Ben.
Whoa.
Okay, so what does that tangibly mean? So last year you paid what?
$130 at the peak of the year.
And then so this year, same time period?
$315.
How? How can people afford it? No one's gotten more money. There wasn't like a windfall of, you know, the profits went up.
Right.
But they certainly didn't come down to the consumer.
Well, if you believe the rhetoric, you know, the war in Ukraine is really affecting the gas in Europe, and that affects us because exactly. It's about profits.
Yes.
Well, it was interesting. I was talking about this on Hail Yourself on Sirius Radio, and all of this stuff, it's all playing into Alexa's theory that November 23rd, 2023, we're going to have the beginning of World War III.
What?
Because Russia is going to bomb Germany. And of course, Germany uses the natural gas from Russia. And it's going to be a whole thing. Mm-hmm. And then, yes, the gas prices are going to be greatly affected, despite the fact, technically, we have more reserves than we will ever need.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that it's finite is total and utter horseshit.
Wow.
But it's interesting. So the California gas company has 21.8 million customers. The company says that they are down. So in a statement, the company said the price of natural gas for its customers would be down 68% for February compared with January. Now, the interesting thing is in Southern California, it's cold in January.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much in February.
It's already warm. I'm sweating already.
So yes. They literally like, No, it's going to go back down when they don't need us.
You don't understand. Theory.
This is what Gillian Wright had to say, a SoCal gas executive. Well, we're relieved that the prices have dropped significantly since last month. They remain higher than usual for this time of year. And again, you cannot. That is, it's like giving somebody a super, like when they're dead starving, mm-hmm. and be like, here's $100. You got $100 for this burrito. Here you go. And then they're super full and be like, look at this. Now it's $1. Mm-hmm. And they're like, I don't need it anymore.
Right.
I'm
right.
full. Mm-hmm. And you gouged me when I needed it most. Which should be completely illegal. Isn't this price gouging at the worst?
Yes, at best, it's price gouging. It's duplicitous and deceitful.
It is
worst.
When one company does it, but if we all agree, if we all agree to do it, then that's just the price of gas, Ben.
Oh my God.
It's the price of gas.
That's free market economics. Mm. Pay me now.
So SoCal Gas, it's doing absolutely fantastic. Don't worry about it. They are making record profits as well. And they did say for their part, they're going to give a $1 million contribution to the Gas Assistance Fund.
Oh,
so isn't that nice? Yes,
they made billions, but here's $1 million.
Maybe we wouldn't need a Gas Assistance Fund if you didn't more than double
right.
the price of gas, especially during a uniquely cold January.
Very cold this year.
I'm not going to complain again because I can already hear the grumbles of everyone listening in the Midwest or anywhere else. Be like, yeah, you had to suffer in 40. It was 40 degrees at night, huh?
It rained. What?
It was negative 17 here. Like, I know.
Right.
But for California, the houses aren't really built the same way as they are in the Midwest. And people have a different expectation for weather.
Right.
And so they were truly freaking freezing.
Right. And I, of course, was back home in Ohio during the holidays and experienced the bomb cyclone. And a lot of the energy nonprofits and think tanks are still studying what the bomb cyclone did to the nation's energy supply over on that side of the country, because it did get very cold very rapidly. And what they have found, to your point about, you know, gas, coal, renewables, is that natural gas plants and coal plants were the ones that underperformed or gave out. And that's why a lot of the power went out during the bomb cyclone over in the Midwest and the South. But renewables performed as expected. But guess which one outperformed? That's right, wind. Because when a big storm comes in, it's very windy. So wind power actually outperformed and saved a lot of people from losing power in the Midwest during the bomb cyclone.
I also think we could use this nuclear energy for good as opposed to just blowing people up.
Yeah,
right. Interesting. Nuclear power might be a nice step in the right direction as well, so we can get off the teat of the oil gods.
That was a conscious choice by the world governments to make weapons rather than energy. Just so you know, they could have just refined thorium, which would have provided us all the energy without any of the need to make weapons from it. But you can't make weapons with thorium. So we went with plutonium.
Oh, plutonium. Yeah. Mm. I'm excited for that movie Oppenheimer. That's coming out soon. We should see it together. If
we'll check it out.
You can explain it to me.
Ooh. So that was a story about SoCal, but this is happening all over the United States. And as we mentioned, with record profits being made, it is because record bills are being sent.
Right.
And when you can't afford your bill, they just cut you off. Oh. U.S. utilities shut off power to millions of people despite record profits. Some of America's largest utility companies cut power to millions of struggling customers. This was in recent years, and as we've seen, it's not like the weather is getting any freaking nicer, specifically in places that aren't traditionally used to storms like Texas or Southern California. There's no doubt that weather patterns are shifting, and you can have the debate over, you know, the reasons behind that, but it is what it is. Mm-hmm. And at the very least, we need to protect the people who are finding themselves all of a sudden completely blindsided by bills they never had to pay before.
Exactly.
So losing power has a devastating impact on households in terms of health and safety. This is according to the Energy and Policy Institute and Bailout Watch. They say shutoffs allow corporate utilities to punish customers, economic precarity, while guaranteeing record profits and massive payouts for themselves and their investors. In the 30 states where shutoff data was available, I don't know why the other 20 states are just like, we'll take your menstrual blood, please. We'll please document your period.
Right.
We're not going to tell you about
no time for that,
our utilities. Utilities cut service for 1.5 million. Utilities cut service 1.5 million times during the first 10 months of 2022 and an estimated 4.2 million times nationwide. The report also reveals the issue is worsening. The number of electric shutoffs jumped by nearly one third, and gas shutoffs spiked by 76%.
That's crazy.
Between 2021 and the first 10 months of 2022. It's horrible.
That's 4.2 million families without like cooking, without hot water, without the ability to shower, while record profits. While, you know, these conglomerates are just like money, money, money.
Oh, they're making big money right now.
And the states that are most affected, again, are the states that need this stuff the most, specifically Illinois. Gets a little cold, I've heard. They posted the highest number of shutoffs during the time period expressed, again, 2021 and the 10 months. The first 10 months of 2022, they had 500,000 people that were just gutted from having the ability to have heat. Again, the wealthiest country on earth. Yeah, that was followed by Pennsylvania, another state that gets a little nippy. Georgia, Michigan, and
Ohio.
You nailed it.
Woohoo! Wow. The crazy thing for me is that Illinois, Pennsylvania, Michigan, those are Democrat-run states. And you would think, so each state has its own electricity and energy board, like a
grid and
utility commission that's supposed to regulate the utilities. And obviously, as we're dealing with in Ohio right now with our historic bribery scandal, what a lot of these utility companies just do is just pay off said commissioners, said regulators, so they kind of get a free pass. So that's why it's always so shocking, even in Democrat states, but also not shocking.
No, it's not.
That big utilities can get away with making record profits, and then there's no a safety plan for when people need to get kicked off when they can't afford their bills.
Yes, this corporate fascism, Exelon Corps. Exelon Corps.
So it's like Exelon, but more excellent?
Exelon Corps.
Exelon. Excellent. Exelon.
They're the parent company to utility giants ComEd, which is in Illinois, and PECO in Pennsylvania. They reported 648,000 shutoffs.
Wow.
It was followed by the Southern Company, DTE Energy, Ameren, and First Energy. And again, all of these companies are making so much money. The report highlighted how little utilities would need to cut into dividends, stock buybacks, and executive salaries to forgive customer debt. Whoa. It examined financial filings from 12 large utilities responsible for 86% of the shutoffs between January 2020 and October 2022. Can you imagine that? January 2020, and next thing you know, we know what's right around the corner in March. You got COVID, and all of a sudden they're also like, well, who needs energy during this time? You just have to be home. Wow. You have to work from home. You kids have to go to school at home. And next thing you know, you don't have any freaking energy to heat the damn house. On average, each spent about $4 billion on dividends, and customer debt from their collective 4.9 million shutoffs totaled about 1% of their dividend spending. So if they even shaved off 1%
of their profits.
Of their profits.
Wow.
They would not have to have any shutoffs whatsoever.
That's insane.
And I understand, yes, it's not a charity. I know. We got it. But at the same time, holy fucking shit.
Right.
You can't figure out how to avoid shutoffs.
It's okay, dividends, it's not even that it's a charity. So when you invest in stock, as the stock goes up, the value of your stock goes up. Dividends is a percentage cut on top of that, Ben.
Wow.
So they weren't even willing to cut profits that are on top of profits. So
good
it's grief. Not even about it being a charity. It's like you've already made your money.
Yeah.
Right.
It's they're living off. I mean, that's technically what you want to do as an individual is live off your
dividends.
Your dividends. Right.
Wow. Well, and of course, each
company can get pretty nasty.
Yeah. And each private company, at least, again, it kind of varies state to state. But I know at least back in Ohio, each company is actually responsible for their own type of program to assist people who can't afford their bills. So you're leaving it up to the company that is already making the record profits and already kicking people off to even offer them some type of assistance program. I know with Columbia Gas back in Ohio, they just raised their base rate for just having gas to $58, which is an increase from 20 some or whatever it was before. While they're also cutting their assistance programs.
You can't have a world where costs go up, but wages don't.
Right.
I mean the divide is so easy.
Where's
our middle
world.
Class? Where's the middle class gone? It's orchestrated.
They're too busy eating their government cheese.
Well, then you do. You have to get shitty food. You get shitty food. You die young. You boom. You get your, you know, you make a lot of money your last year in hospice. There's a lot of cash to be made. Have you sitting there as a vegetable?
Ugh, good grief. At least my daughter is going to be a great athlete someday, but she failed her menstrual test. Check.
Yeah, so. She failed. Oh, my God. Also, First Energy, that serves Maryland, Pennsylvania, and Ohio. It shut off power 240,000 times for customers in debt totaling $25 million. But the company paid $2.3 billion in dividends. It's just unbelievable.
Not to mention First Energy is directly responsible for the current bribery scandal that is now going to trial in Ohio. They paid legislators $60 million. So they could have covered this $25 million of unpaid bills with what they bribed state legislators with in the first place.
Wow. Just, it's so nasty, dude.
And these are states that are adjacent to Lake Michigan. So like literally every winter, Lake Michigan rises up and just tries to kill everybody around it. But yep. No, let's cut off their power.
According to Goodson Bell, this is his solution. And I like this solution. He says he wants a ban on shutoffs. Okay. He says, since we see energy as a human right and shutoffs are not something that the utility industry needs to do financially to operate, we're calling for a permanent ban.
Love it.
Why not? I mean, might as well. They don't need it. And also, aren't they like, I guess because it's all monopolized, they don't care anymore about public opinion.
Yeah, exactly. Because they're the only energy provider in Ohio. They're the only energy. Pepco is the only one in Pennsylvania.
Right.
So if you don't want to be there, what are you going to do? Burn trash bags?
Yeah, figure it's region based. So your options are very, very limited. You may have more than one, but to Fernando's point earlier, this is the price of gas. If one company is going to raise it to this amount, then the other companies are going to follow suit.
Also, maybe if they didn't spend money on a stadium in Cleveland, First Energy, that is.
Well,
because it's First Energy Stadium in Cleveland.
That's being looked into as well, that First Energy used illegal money to get that name on the stadium in the first place. First Energy is in a lot of trouble right now. So
are they until they grease the wheels, right?
Well, they're entered a plea deal, and then they're paying $230 million, which is $250 million settlement, basically, to the federal government. And now they have to comply. They have the federal government.
So the federal government could even give these people $25 million.
That would be great. Hey, oh, we got this settlement. We're going to take 10% of the settlement and help everyone who got kicked off of their power grid.
Man, and now also a bit of a different story, but also about large corporations doing nefarious things. New York investors are snapping up all the water rights in the Colorado River.
Oh, boy.
So the idea, I was talking with Sina, and he was telling me that his wife went to a conference with the main dude of Nestle, and obviously they see water as a commodity, right? Mm-hmm. They see it as something that can be traded and buy it and all this, and it's just so freaking nasty. And it's these out-of-state people. So now there's a private investment firm, or many private investment firms, are showing growing increase in the increasingly scarce natural resources in the American West. Good and great. So now they basically want to go get their grubby fingers in the Colorado River, which is not going to lead to anything good. For some of the farmers in the cities that depend on the river as a lifeline, the interest is concerning because, you used to get that water for free.
Right.
Now all of a sudden we're going to need a little bit of cash because you know how good those farmers are doing.
Right. They're going to add preservatives to it, too.
According to Joe Bernal, who raises cattle and grows crops on land across the Colorado's Grand Valley, he relies on the water from the drought-depleted Colorado River. He says, our only source of water is the Colorado. Of course, the river. He says, that's all we've got is this freaking river.
Really? Yeah.
And they're going to go in and ruin it.
And they're buying it in Colorado, where the Colorado River starts. And then it keeps going to Arizona, New Mexico. Nevada, to California eventually. And by then, it's just a trickle already.
Yeah. Huh.
This is where all the water that comes from the Colorado River is what feeds the agriculture of Arizona and New Mexico. So what's going to happen?
Right.
So the dude, this is Bernal, his new neighbor. This is what he says. He says it's a New York-based investment firm called Water Asset Management.
Of course.
Okay, good name.
He says they bought a farm in the valley around 2017. The hedge fund, which is headquartered in Madison Avenue in Manhattan, has bought at least $20 million worth of land in western Colorado in the last 5 years.
That's crazy. They're going to try to siphon it off at the source.
According to Matthew Desario, he called water in the United States, quote, a $1 trillion market opportunity.
Oh my God. See, that's all they care about.
$1 trillion market opportunity.
I want my trillions.
What about just looking at the lake? Yeah. Swimming.
Ooh.
Saying, ooh, thank you for providing life water.
I want to own it. I want to own life.
This is why, I mean, oh God, I really wish that we would have had more of a mutual culture with our Native American.
Right. Right.
Aww. Because they understood land and they just had such a much more appropriate appreciation. And I feel like that's why so many people feel lost out there too. We're just drifting in this corporate hellscape and it's like, get back.
Right.
Water. You can't buy fucking water, man.
Latter stages of corporate capitalism. This is what it's getting us.
God, what did Matthew Desario, water, a $1 trillion market opportunity.
A disconnect. He doesn't see himself part of nature anymore. You know,
yet it's part of the machine.
Exactly. It's like you need this to live and you need this to live and everybody else needs this to live. How can you literally consider this a commodity?
I think everyone needs to go trip balls at a music festival ASAP.
Yeah. According to Bernal, again, he's just a farmer, man. This guy's just trying to live his life and give
grow
us cattle.
Food for others.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes. He says when it comes to the firm, he says, would I have invited them here? No. Am I glad that there's a big company here buying properties in our valley under our system? Not really. According to Andy Muller, a general manager of the Colorado River Water Conservation District, says he doesn't think the firm wants much with the land.
Exactly.
He says it's just the water. So exactly. They're just going to trash everything.
Right.
Suck the water. It's like Captain Planet. It's like a supervillain from
really
Captain Planet.
Oh my God, really it's definitely is. A supervillain, yeah.
Oh, my God. He added, this is Andy Muller again, general manager of the Colorado River Water Conservation District. He says, these folks that have identified the drought as an opportunity to make money. So there's going to be a drought and then they're going to sell you back the water at a premium.
Poison, too. Processed water.
Reminds me of that episode of The Simpsons where Mr. Burns built a machine to block the sun so everyone had to use more power.
Yes.
It led to his attempted assassination by none other than Maggie Simpson, of course.
I know. Mueller says, I view these drought profiteers as vultures. They're looking to make a lot of money off this public resource. Water in Colorado, water in the West is your future. It's also our present and our past. Yeah. You know, without water, you have no future. Wow. All right.
And I will just say, haven't these New York investors ever heard of the ocean? Oh, they're going to have a big old cow when they see
that's
that.
That's a $1 trillion market opportunity.
There's multi-trillions right there, man. Can I buy that ocean?
Reminds me of the Bill Hicks joke where he was driving past a guy and it just said dirt for sale. And he's like, this guy just sees opportunity everywhere. Honey! Dirt for sale. And just lastly, we'll get into this more in the next episode this week. We'll talk more about prison reform. There's a bill in Massachusetts that will allow prisoners to donate their organs for less time and incarcerated. We are really in the dystopian future that we were promised. So thank
you. Cyberpunk 2023, boys. Cyberpunk 2023.
Oh my God.
I got 5 years off my sentence. Like, I wasn't circumcised. I gave him the chop.
Okay.
Yeah, kid wanted to make a ring out of it. So I got 5 years off my sentence. What are you in for? A child rape.
Oh my God.
I got 5 years off. Though. They said if I totally gut myself, I can get out of here yesterday.
Ah, joke's on them. Those kidneys are all bad anyway. I've been eating nothing but government cheese.
Prison is for poor people, and this is just another way to milk more poor people out of something.
They couldn't pay their electric bills, probably. That's how they ended up there.
Now,
I'll trade you your kidney for your electric bill for the month.
If I am there for tax embezzlement, I'll take 5 years off for a kidney. I mean, here you go. You want a ball? Want a dick? I'll take an eye. I'll take 10 years for an eye.
Oh no.
But then we have to have the conversations of how many years off a sentence does body parts,
what's a finger?
Is that a month? Anyway, we'll talk more about that on next episode. Thank you all so much for listening. Hang in there, man. These greedy motherfuckers, dude. Nasty. Absolutely nasty. I don't even go protest at First Energy Bank or Stadium.
Yeah, well, those are just Cleveland Browns fans protesting how bad the team is.
Well, good. Whatever. So Cleveland say the Browns suck, and so does First Energy. Add something to your sign.
I agree with that.
There you go.
Also, there's reasons to protest the Browns. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening. Hail yourselves. We'll talk to you soon.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors. You can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.